Today's edition of the Between the Ropes podcast is brought to you by Suplex Apparel. Find them online at suplexapparel.com. It's premium clothing that you're going to be happy with. It's pro wrestling focused clothing for wrestlers and for fans. They're a UK-based clothing brand. They work with a team of professional wrestlers like Zack Sabre Jr., Prince Devitt, Adam Cole, and others. And right now is the perfect time to go shopping there. They've got their brand new winter range jackets, hoodies, hats, rucksacks, t-shirts, and more, and for both men and women, plus they ship worldwide. Now is a great time to take part of all the great gear that they have there, especially with Christmas right around the corner. Become part of the Suplex Apparel team. Check them out online at suplexapparel.com.
Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey there, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Between the Ropes podcast. I'm Brian Fritz. He's Michael Wiseman. Appreciate everybody for listening in this week. I know we're a day late, but...
And a dollar short.
Maybe not a dollar short. Well, I'm always a couple dollars short. But unfortunately, the schedule did not work out for us to do it on our normal day on Wednesday. But we're here. It's a Thursday night as we're taping this. So we will still cover everything. And I will plug this right now. On Friday, I'll have a bonus. That's right. A bonus podcast out with my interviews with both Cody Rhodes and Jay Lethal, as they get set to face one another on Friday night's final battle, Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
We gotta get out of here early, Fritzy. I gotta go watch my Thursday night SmackDown.
It's on Tuesday nights now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else comes on Thursday nights then?
TNA Impact Wrestling is on
tonight. Thunder. WCW Thunder. It's this night of the week. The Blue Brand. We got it. Thunder. We're going to see Bret Hart's show. He's going to come out. He's going to, this thing, Bret Hart's show.
Why did they ever create Thunder? It was, for the most part, was never a good show.
Bret Hart's show. That's, well, he got injured, He just was too old to wrestle anymore, I guess, and it happens.
Can I tell you a quick story about Thunder?
I love quick stories about Thunder.
Okay, because I will not name the person that told me this. So one of my first interactions years ago, this is 1998, well, the first times I ever got to hang out with some wrestlers after a show, I went to a show, it's a local show in Sanford, Florida, and afterwards, a bunch of the guys were going to the sports bar next door, which I got invited to go to. And this was right before we started the radio show, right? So, and I was hitting up some guys, see if they come on the show and whatnot. So we got invited to go over there. So I go to the sports bar, and I walk in, and they had this huge television screen taking up like half of this one wall, right? And they had Thunder on there. It was like the replay of Thunder as well, because the show is on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
And one of the wrestlers there saw what was airing. And at the time, Eric Bischoff was on the screen. And his first reaction, and mind you, this is my first time ever hanging out with wrestlers. And he looked at the screen and goes, boy, would I love to blow that guy's bleeping brains out.
What?
Yes. Who was that? I can't tell you.
You got to tell me off the air. Text me right now. I got to know.
I mean, this is the first time I'm ever hanging out with wrestlers. I was like, well, this should be a very interesting night.
I'm going to assume it wasn't Bret Hart.
Not Bret Hart. It was a... Yeah, I have to tell you later. It was somebody that had worked with EB before.
Okay.
I will leave it at that. But yeah, it was an interesting night. So as we get into our little interesting night here taping the podcast, what are you drinking?
Well, no cans tonight, no bottles tonight, no growlers tonight, because I have me a nice fine glass of champagne. And it's for good reason, because Fritzy, guess what happened this week?
What happened this week?
We finally sold our house.
Yeah.
We moved to downtown Winston about 5 months ago, 4 months ago, whatever it was. House has been on the market. We had a couple of near fires on getting that bad boy gone, but we closed this week. Buyers closed last night, and we are no longer a double mortgage family. So champagne for all.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So where am I going to stay when I come up there and visit?
Well, I have a small love seat in my office that you're more than welcome to sit on. I have a traditional couch in my living room, or we have a hallway. I mean, you can sleep in our shared hallway with our neighbors.
No spare bedroom for me?
No spare bedroom for you. Sorry.
Mm. So I know you had a fun weekend at WrestleCade. So how'd that go?
I didn't make it to WrestleCade.
What? You didn't make it to WrestleCade?
It was the final three count. You know, there wasn't enough room for me.
Three count was there?
I wish I would totally. You know, they had a three count reunion. No. There was a three count reunion last year.
Was there really?
There was, because Shane Helms was there. And the other guys, I guess, were there. And so they did a little three count reunion.
The other guys were there. You don't know the other guys?
Yeah. Who was it? It was Shannon. Who was that? Okay. And who was
Keep
the other
going.
Guy? I don't know the third guy. Who was he?
I know. It's Shannon Moore and?
Who's the guy? Shannon Moore and?
Come on. It's Evan Courageous.
Evan Courageous. There's a name. You know that Matt Hardy was the final WrestleCade champion.
Yes. Do you remember who was the manager and enforcer for three count for a little while?
Hey, here's a picture. I found a picture of the WrestleCade three count reunion. Yeah, here it is. I should send this to you. There he is. Shannon Moore, Hurricane Helms, and the other guy you talked about.
Who?
Just said his name.
Evan Courageous.
Yeah, the courageous one.
And who was their special enforcer for a little while?
Angelina Love.
Tank Abbott.
Oh, Tank Abbott. That would be good. That's a pretty good guy.
Remember
to have.
When he had the big fight with what was it, Big Al? And he threatened to legitimately stab him?
No, I don't remember all that. I remember he was an MMA crossover attraction though, Fritzy. He was the Conor McGregor of his era.
Yeah, the crossover attraction. Oh my god. Him and another man got into a legit fight in a wrestling match and threatened to kill one another.
Tank Abbott, he is one of those guys that you just can't. You can't overestimate or overstate his meaningfulness to the Attitude.
You know, there was a certain person that had at one point some creative say-so in that company, whose name I will not repeat here, who wanted to put the title on one Tank Abbott.
That would have been like legitimate back then.
Right. Dude.
That's the way you do it, man. You bring in these guys from the outside, and you put the title on them, and you see what happens. Like, imagine if you put the title on a movie star. That would be pretty cool, right? Like,
They've done that, and it did not work out very well.
Do some cross promotion, maybe whatever movie he's starring in, you can add some wrestlers to it.
It's all about getting that attention in USA Today, man. If we can get on the front page of USA Today, we'll be gold.
That's also the same mentality Vince McMahon has too, I think. So I don't know that they're too far off.
I don't know if he's going to go that far. I don't know if the next time Hugh Jackman makes a visit, he's going to be the WWE champion.
Oh, that would be awesome, though, right? Old man Logan showing up as a WWE champion.
Well, I mean, Bob Barker with his karate skills, I don't know how he's not the champion right now.
Imagine if we had a video game where we could take guys in real life and recreate them in a video game format and create fantasy warfare.
That's an idea, man. I like it.
I could have Wolverine fighting Brock Lesnar. I could have Bob Barker fighting Brock Lesnar. That'd be pretty awesome, huh?
Does Brock Lesnar have to be in every one of these fantasy warfare matches?
That's fantasy warfare, baby. Let's see if I can hear Paul Heyman talk about it a few more times.
Paul Heyman crying. Paul Heyman cried on Raw.
Oh, Lord. That's what we're leading with, huh? That was...
If they had only played the ending theme to The Incredible Hulk TV when Dr. David Banner walks down the road like hitchhiking to the next town.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking they should play the final countdown, but I like your idea better. That works too.
The final countdown. Oh, I thought
that should be the music for Royal Rumble, right? The final countdown.
It's the final countdown.
A little bit on the nose, I guess.
I still love the video for that. Okay, so go back to 1989, and it was supposed to be the last match between Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Steamboat's the champion, and Flair's getting one more rematch. And, you know, they had this video package building up to that match. So they had the actual video for the final countdown, as cheesy as that is, and they interspersed clips of Steamboat and Flair interacting with one another leading up to this final match. I mean, they just flat out just, you know, threw a bunch of clips in here, there, and everywhere, right?
Right.
It is the most cheesy-worthy, unbelievable video you can imagine. It's still on That's YouTube. Awesome. It's fantastic.
Awesome. I'll have to go check that out.
You'll have to go check that out. But Paul did great work. I mean, we almost felt bad for Paul there for a second.
Those tears were legitimate, dude.
Hey, man, they underestimated Goldberg. Can't
hey, man. I see what you did there. Hey, man. Like, hey, man. Heyman.
Oh,
Paul Heyman.
Yeah, I meant to do that. Yeah. Uh-huh. But it's so they built this up and they made it like, hey, Brock is regrouping and he's pissed off and now he's dedicated. And it'll be very interesting to see what a dedicated Brock Lesnar will do. And he is also going to be in the Royal Rumble because Goldberg is in the Royal Rumble. Now, I really thought Heyman was going to say, not only is Brock Lesnar in the Royal Rumble, but he insists on being the first entrant in the Royal Rumble. But that did not happen.
That would have been an interesting little twist there.
The Royal Rumble could legit be packed this year. I mean, if you look at all the different people that could potentially be in it, because it's not one of the biggest gripes that we have every year is there's only a few people that we really think could win the Royal Rumble. You know, like, I mean, they put the 30 people out there, but there's only like, you know, 3-4 people that we really believe can win it. Yeah. And, you know, this year they could put Goldberg in there. They're going to put Lesnar in there. They could put Undertaker in there. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Roman Reigns will probably be in there. AJ Styles will probably be in there. Dean Ambrose. Maybe, or AJ Styles, depending on if he's champion or not. Same with Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins. So, I mean, there's a lot of different people that they could put in this match.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I like the idea of a loaded Rumble match, and we know the Rumble in the past few years has been kind of being built up more and more and more and more as this huge attraction, which I'm fine with, right? It is the star of the show every year. I think we've learned our lesson. No more Roman Reigns wins, hopefully, right? Fingers crossed. No more Dave Bautista wins.
Yeah, I don't think Batista's going to be there. Yeah.
What about the, there was a rumor that Kurt Angle might be there.
Yeah. Well, that's what rumors are for, to be rumors.
Right? Rumors? He could win it all. He's got one more run in him, right? Hulk Hogan shows up.
Hey, well, Kurt Angle can't come back now. That would ruin our plans for him to be on 2K18.
Right. You know what we could do, right, Fritzy? We could have him next year be on the cover of 2K18. And what if they had him as like a, I don't know, pre-order bonus, right? Okay, and if you bought the game early, you got him. And they built up this fantasy match between, like, I don't know, him and Brock Lesnar, okay? Because that's a dream match, right? And you call it fantasy warfare. What if it stumbled over into reality?
You really like this fantasy warfare idea, don't you?
It works so well. You could just literally do anybody with Brock Lesnar, and it's fantasy warfare. Gilbert could be a pre-order bonus.
I don't know how many people are interested in buying that one, but
put Bret Hart in the game next year.
I think Bret's already in the game.
Pre-order bonus. Fantasy warfare. I think the Rumble this year could be fascinating. I want to know. I think we'll have a pretty clear direction after coming out of this month, after the two pay-per-views, of course, TLC and Roadblock, whatever it's called, Roadblock to end it all, or
the end of the line.
End of the
you
line.
You have to say the whole thing every time, too.
Roadblock, the end of the line. It's like back when they used to do the In Your House, and they had the subtitle after it.
Oh, yeah, that's Mind Games.
In this Sunday at In Your House, Rock Bottom.
Oh, those are the best, man.
A Tuesday in Texas. What was it? Tuesday in Texas.
A Tuesday in Texas.
Remember that one?
Yeah. Right, what was it? Do you remember they did Cyber Sunday, but wasn't it originally Cyber Tuesday?
It was. So they tried doing that pay-per-view on a Tuesday, and it like didn't do well, so they moved it to Sunday.
Who would have thought that a Tuesday pay-per-view would suck?
Like, who watches wrestling on a Tuesday night, right? That's why they put SmackDown on Thursdays.
SmackDown is actually on Tuesdays, Chief.
Thursday Night Thunder. You got to have something to compete with Thursday Night Thunder.
There's another show that was on Tuesday night this week. Apparently, you didn't watch some 205 Live on Tuesday night either.
Apparently nobody in the audience did, so I guess I'm good there, right?
That looked bad, man. You got these guys out there busting their humps, and they do these crowd shots, like these wide shot crowd shots, right? And there's people walking out. They're like, yep, watch SmackDown. I'm out. And it's just like, I mean, they're announcing, you know.
It's not funny, but I'm just imagining
some guy. The Bollywood guys are coming to the ring, and people are like, I'm out.
So wait, I have a question. Did they actually wait an hour to record 205 Live?
It was actually live.
Oh, so I mean, it was just immediately afterwards.
Yeah. Talking Smack aired at 11 o'clock Eastern. And by the way, I like watching Talking Smack. Okay. I like The Miz.
Yes.
You know what I do not like? The Miz being one of the two hosts of Talking Smack. Okay. Because he filled in for Daniel Bryan. And he wasn't The Miz. He was Mike Mizanin. I got through about 3 minutes of that show, and he was so over the top and dominating the show so much. I said, I'm done. I couldn't watch anymore.
He's a strong personality. He makes a great character, but that does not make him a great wrestling commentator, you know?
He ruined the show, damn it.
Damn it. That's impossible. The Miz ruins nothing. But anyway.
And like I said, I like The Miz. I have been a vocal supporter of The Miz. But, man, that was just too much. I mean, part of it was I miss Daniel Bryan in that role, too. But and he was even hosting this show. Like, he was pushing Renee Young to the side, and she was a secondary person.
Yeah, you can't do that. Although I did tell my wife today, I said, I want to start watching, now that I've realized that Maryse is on Total Divas, which means we get an inside insight into The Miz and Maryse's life, including maybe pictures of their house. I'm not sure. I'm going to watch it.
You better watch that show fast because the ratings are dwindling. So
I'm going to watch it. It's on my radar now.
You can watch Lana out of character without the Russian accent.
What? No.
I've heard that. I have not watched it because, as everybody knows that listens to this, I do not watch that show, but that's what I've heard.
It's like whenever you watch a movie with a person who is British who's playing an American actor, and you don't, or it's a British actor playing an American role, and you don't realize it until afterwards.
You mean like the entire cast of The Walking Dead?
Yes. We've been watching Sons of Anarchy, right? And Jax, who is actually a British actor, every time I see him in an interview, it really messes with my mind.
I'm glad you're finally catching up with Sons of Anarchy now that FX is about to launch a prequel to it.
That seems like a terrible idea. But I do like the show. I don't want to talk about it too much, but it's a good show. I like it. Anyway, way off the beaten path. Point being, 205 Live was probably not the best move for WWE. And, there you go.
Here, we'll talk about Raw and SmackDown here in a minute. Here was my thing with 205 Live. Okay, they did some nice video packages giving background about everybody. Mm-hmm. There was nothing wrong with the show. They had some good matches on there. Jack Gallagher is fantastic for what he is. And he's a lot of fun. The main event where we saw Rich Swann beat Brian Kendrick for the Cruiserweight Championship was very good. However, I thought that they should have done something out of the gate to really up the ante for that show. Like, have a really wild, crazy, exciting match that would, like, define what the Cruiserweight division is.
Right.
And instead, they started with the Bollywood Boys against Drew Gulak and Tony Nese. And I mean, their match was fine. But that's, I would have done so. Like, I would have taken a couple of my top guys I know can just go out there and kill it. So for me, it would have probably been like Grand Metalik against Akira Tozawa and say, just go out there for 15 minutes and just tear it up.
Sure.
Like, just, you know, we go out there and do your thing and try to have the best match that you can. And if anybody can't follow it, too damn bad, but we want this to define what this show and what this division is going to be about. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good idea, because what you have right now in WWE is, I feel like this show, it's not sure what it wants to be, but there's an identity crisis going on with 205 Live. And so what I mean by that is, you look at Raw, and Raw is really the quote unquote flagship, right? It is the loud and proud, and we're here every week for 3 hours and wrestling, but really it's just a lot of padding. SmackDown's a little bit more of the get down to the nitty gritty of classic wrestling booking. I think you go over to something like NXT, and that's really more of the insiders type show, right? It's the show that competes a little bit more directly with something like Impact or Ring of Honor, where you get some more of that wrestling, but you get these feuds that have a little bit more teeth to them, and the show's a little more focused. And 205 Live is over here, and it needed some kind of identity. So if they took your idea and propped it up with some really fantastic high action wrestling, to your point, maybe doing something that's just match of the year type caliber quality, you could have set the tone for this as being a, you like Lucha Underground? Sure, go watch Lucha Underground, but tune into us for that high flying, set the bar up there kind of wrestling show that we don't have on WWE currently.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I was really hoping that they would do that. I thought it was a good touch that they introduced everybody that was a part of the roster right now. And, you know,
yeah.
And it sure looks like Austin Aries is going to be a part of it once he's healthy. He's recovering from that broken orbital bone that he has. And who knows who else they might add. You know, I still would like to see Neville part of that division. He would really stand out in that division. But, yeah. You know, it's good that they introduced all the talent. I'm sure we're going to see some more video packages coming up. But I just thought they could have done more. And it was more like, instead of look at the incredible matches and incredible athletes that these guys are, it's like, hey, look, at it's fun and entertainment from guys that are 205 and you know, lighter.
Yeah. Yeah. That could work.
It just went a different direction. So
I am sad though to see people walking out. I don't know how you fix that, but I think that's a telltale sign. You have not captured your core WWE audience with this 205 Live yet. I think it was a little bit rushed as far as announcement and execution. And I think it was bad timing. You're going into the wrestling lull before Mania season, and I think you could have propped it up with a huge feud, maybe going into coming out of the Rumble, and that would have been a better time to launch this.
Well, they haven't done enough with spotlighting the division on Raw. I mean, they've had some good matches out there, and they've done some things, but it's nothing that really stands out. So, yeah. You know, and that doesn't help the case either. So let's talk a little bit about Raw. The big thing there, so Sasha Banks is a three-time Raw Women's Champion, and she beat Charlotte. So they had a match. There was a count out, and Mick Foley said, it's not ending like that. So we are going to have a no DQ, no count out, falls count anywhere match. And they ended the show with that. They beat the hell out of each other, especially Sasha caning Charlotte over and over and over.
Brutal.
And they ended up going up into the crowd. And Charlotte got put between like one of the, what would you say? Like, kind of like a guard, like a, what is that? A concrete kind of handle as you walk up and down the steps.
It's like the center handle in the aisle of the concrete arena. Yeah.
So Charlotte got put between that and she ended up getting put in the bank statement and she tapped out, which was a very innovative finish.
Yeah. I like the finish. The thing that bothered me about it was the crowd directly around them. They were all obviously plants. Like the crowd right behind them was I'm pretty sure plants.
You think so?
I think so. That one lady was like way too like not even into the match, but just like look at me, I'm cheering. There's a difference. Fans that are into the match and cheering have a different persona than like that one lady who was just like, yeah, my arms are up in the air and I'm cheering a whole lot.
Maybe those people were said, hey, make sure you cheer, or maybe it's just there is something to once you know that you are on camera, you act a certain way.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Look at me with John Cena in NXT.
you and Cena hanging out. Next
I just
season.
Looked at John and said, whatever he's doing, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm clapping my hands. I'm smiling. Yes. So I don't know if they were plants, but I think
that's a very nitpicky thing. I get it.
Yeah. You know, so
the match was good. I worry sometimes about Charlotte and some of the things she does, and she doesn't always hit her mark.
Well, how about that moonsault? I mean, if that's what you're talking about. So she went over to the announcer's table, and she did a moonsault, and that table's already elevated. And she did a moonsault off of that onto Sasha, and it was just ridiculously high. And it was, I mean, Sasha caught her. I mean, it's still going to be a hard fall. I don't think that was true concrete they fell on, but it looked like there's not much of a padding there, but it looked like there might have been like a little bit of a light padding. But regardless, it was still a hell of a move and a hell of a bump for both of them. But they went out there and they killed each other. And it turned out to be a great match. I think that the thing you have to look at is, why are they playing hot potato with this championship?
You know, it reminds me of the Intercontinental title back in the Attitude Era, right? Where we handed this title off from week to week and we built some people up. The problem is this title is supposed to be the richest prize in the game for women. And now we're talking about Sasha Banks being a three-time champion in the span of less than a year. And really in the span of, what, 6 months? It's ridiculous. And I worry that it hurts the prestige of the title. And to me, it reeks of a, we're not quite sure where to go next with this division, so we're just going to hand it off a whole bunch back and forth. I mean, The Miz and Dolph Ziggler on SmackDown are in a similar situation, but it's the Intercontinental title, not the women's title, not the World Heavyweight title. And so I don't get it. And I can't tell if they're just – they haven't made up their mind or if they just think this is what fans want, which is a feud that has a title go back and forth six times.
I think there's – one of the things they're trying to do is figure out where they go next.
Okay.
Once they don't have them together. So, I mean, I expect them to have another match together coming up at Roblox, right?
Yeah, that's – so you have the match and Sasha Banks wins it?
I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting question. I guess that the way that they would try to describe it, if I had to try to come up with some kind of defense for what they're doing with that title, is saying, well, look at how important it is to the women involved here, but and how competitive they are as well, and how much this championship means. But there is something to somebody being a champion and having it for a long period of time. You know, I think they're still trying to decide where exactly they want to go, who would be next. There was a belief that Nia Jax could be next. There's a belief Bayley could be next, but is she next for Charlotte? Is she next for Sasha? So
I you know, the thing about it though, Brian, is that like with whoever they go next, wouldn't this feud have felt so much more complete if at Hell in a Cell, Sasha Banks, the first time ever the women have main evented a pay-per-view, the first time ever the women have fought in Hell in a Cell, that Sasha Banks in her hometown crowd has that magical moment of winning the title from Charlotte, finally, you know, in a complete and it's, that's it. It's done. The feud is settled. Like, I mean, she was already the champion, so the feud is settled. Like, wouldn't that have made the most sense from a storytelling perspective?
Absolutely. Especially if they had built it up and said, hey, they are going to be in the main event. Not only like this is the first time the women are facing each other in Hell in a Cell, which they built up, but they could have done even more. But if they had also put that exclamation point on it then, and said they are going to be the main event of this show and really built it up. And then you have some finality to that feud, at least for the time being. If you want to go back to it in, you know, a year, year and a half, 2 years, whenever, so be it. But have some finality for this chapter, at least. And they still haven't done that. And, you know, they're still having really good matches. But it just feels weird, like you said, that, say, Sasha Banks is a three-time women's champion. It's like, she hasn't been up on the main roster that long.
Well, and they put this emphasis on the number of times you've been a champion, which I think a more important metric is not, oh, you've been, I mean, we get it. Ric Flair, John Cena have been around the business long enough to be these huge number of champions. But the emphasis to me, it's a bigger deal if you can hold on to the title belt, the championship for a longer period of time. You take somebody like CM Punk and his epic, whatever it was, day run with that title over the course of a year and some change, that meant something. And it meant that whenever he lost it eventually to The Rock, it was a much bigger deal rather than if he had won it 15 times in that span.
Well, I believe AJ Styles' current championship reign has lasted longer than all of Roman Reigns's.
Yeah, well.
Seriously.
I mean, Roman Reigns, there you go. I think that says it all.
So here's a couple other takeaways I had from Raw, okay? So we're seeing this ongoing feud between Enzo and Big Cass, which looks like it's going to be Big Cass against Rusev. Okay, so Rusev and Lana and Enzo and Cass are all involved. That started, you know, go back not to this past Raw, but the prior week where Enzo was walking around naked in front of Lana.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they pointed out again this week. Let me tell you something. And they were even joking around about it again this week. And I got to tell you something. I'm on Rusev's side on this. Enzo is a jerk.
Yep.
He shouldn't be walking around in front of Rusev's woman naked like that. And Rusev should be pissed and should pummel him.
I mean, it wasn't entirely his fault. It was Big Cass's fault.
Let me ask you this. Okay. If this happened to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Somebody, you know, was walking around in front of your wife naked. Uh-huh. Would you want to kick this guy in the nuts?
I mean, presumably.
Same with
you. You know. But maybe I'm the one doing the one walking around naked. Maybe that's me. Maybe that's my role.
I don't know if I'd see that from you. Maybe.
Yeah, you know. You're just a couple of haters,
But, I mean, I don't blame Enzo for being mad. It's like, I look at them like, okay, so what makes him the good guy out of this? What makes him the baby face? Because I think Rusev is right. He deserved to be kicked in the nuts. I mean, Rusev should be mad at this dude.
I think Rusev's got a good point, but I think more importantly, this feud has started off over something very dumb, right?
Oh,
the camera happened Like, reality be damned at this point.
I mean, would you rather they fight over a Japanese shampoo commercial?
Well, you know, that's what it takes.
That's what it takes. Here's the other thing that stood out, okay? So we saw Sheamus and Cesaro at the bar, right? So they ended up getting in this big, hellacious bar fight. How horrible were these people at the bar? And they all deserved to get beat up, okay?
I know, right? They were jackasses.
Dude, you had one guy making fun of Sheamus and patting him on the shoulder and whatnot. Then the other guy got in Cesaro's face and literally had this long, drawn-out burp right in his face. And everybody in the bar is like, ah! And it's just like, yeah, you should get beat up for that, dude. I mean, how horrible are the people in this bar?
They were also making fun of where they were from, you know, Sheamus and Cesaro, about their backgrounds and their ethnicities. And so, yeah, it was pretty terrible.
So we had these racist, horrible people laughing and getting in somebody else's face and making fun of them and finding that hysterical. And then they got slaughtered. And then at the end, Sheamus got behind the bar, gave Cesaro a Guinness, had a Guinness of his own. They toasted, and then Sheamus began to drink his, and Cesaro was waiting for the camera to go away because he did not want to have any part of that drink. And the camera stayed on him just a little bit too long, and he kept acting like he was going to take a drink, but he didn't.
Yep.
It's like, I'm not drinking this swill.
Also, that's theft, and so I think the bartender should make sure Sheamus and Cesaro are charged for those extra drinks they took after they destroyed their bar.
How'd you like the fall wall that they built so they could put somebody through it?
That was nice. I also, that bar was incredibly small.
That's what I was saying, man. When you had that wall, when you saw the whole thing, it's like, this is like a jail cell, man.
Also, can we just, okay, I get it, right? WWE pro wrestling is not real, okay, quote unquote real. These backstage segments are not actually happening genuinely, people picking on Sheamus and Cesaro, right? Mm. But can we just stop with the multiple camera angles where they have a camera over here and a camera in the audience, you know, where it's like they're overproducing these backstage segments? Because if this is literally like a camera guy followed Sheamus and Cesaro to a bar to catch the conversation, why would there be another cameraman that just happened to be over there filming the crowd so he could get a better shot?
So in other words, we should have black and white surveillance video.
Yes. Maybe we put a little, you know, a GTV logo in the lower left-hand corner.
Somebody had a drop cam there and we were getting that feed. Yeah.
I mean, we already suspend our belief, right? We suspend disbelief by watching these segments and being like, oh, I bet this is really happening. But to take it to that extra layer, that kind of what Lucha Underground does with these processed, over-processed segments backstage, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I will say this, though. Mm-hmm. As cheesy as that segment was, I liked the bar fight.
Okay, and I liked the Sheamus and Cesaro interaction, too. I thought that was good.
They're becoming buddies. So, yep. I mean, they're going to be the ones that dethrone New Day for the tag titles. It's just whether or not New Day gets the record or not.
Yeah. I think they will. I mean, it would be silly to build them up this far and then not give them the record.
Isn't it weird, though, that as talented as both Sheamus and Cesaro are, that the way that they're going to get the regular TV time and be booked in a more successful way is by putting them together as a tag team rather than being individuals? And I guess you could say the same thing over on SmackDown right now when it comes to Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton.
Yeah. I'm not sure that we have the same vision of what a successful singles champion looks like that WWE does right now.
Oh, I guarantee we don't.
I think that's the bigger issue.
Did you have an issue with the hometown people of Cedric Alexander and Charlotte Flair both losing in their hometown of Charlotte on Monday?
I did not have an issue with Charlotte losing because she's a heel, right? It makes a bigger impact. No. Doesn't bother me.
What about with Cedric?
A little bit more because of what they're trying to do with him and with the cruiserweights. And yeah.
Well, here's what I tend to think about this more and more. I think that the powers to be don't even care about what city they're in most of the time. Every now and then they do. Mm-hmm. I don't think they really care. But with Cedric Alexander, they should have a little bit more. And I know he's not like high end or whatever, but just because he is a hometown guy and he got the reaction that he did, you know, it's not going to matter if he wins or loses come the end of the day in a match like that. So guess what? Give the fans there something that they want. Let the dude win.
Yeah.
But they decide not to go in that direction. So that's the way it goes sometimes, people.
That's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes. So over on SmackDown, we finally got to see Mean AJ Styles as he beat the crap out of James Ellsworth.
Oh, poor guy. Poor guy.
The dude has no chin. He really has no chin now.
He has no chin. And then the poor guy got a little roughed up.
He got a Styles clash on the steps.
You know he loves it, though. You know he is enjoying the hell out of it.
Okay, when you saw AJ setting him up for the Styles clash, did you have the same thought going through your mind like I did? Where my thought was, please, dear God, dude, do not tuck your chin like you did the first time you took this move and damn near got killed.
No, I didn't think that, but that's a good call out.
I was sitting there going, no, don't tuck your chin. Don't do what you comes natural. No. Thank God he didn't. So that was a hell of a bump to do that on the steps, man. It looked great.
Yeah, and he did a good job, and it was a impactful moment. I liked it. A good segment. It was a good segment for this feud.
Yeah, it really was. And then we got to see Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt beat American Alpha. So now they will face Heath Slater and Rhino for the tag titles.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. We haven't seen much of Slater and Rhino lately. You know, they haven't, you know, been getting the same position on TV as they have in a while. So this sure feels like it's going to be Orton and Bray that they come away with a win here.
What do you do with these guys? What do you do with Slater and with Rhino after this feud?
I don't know. And I mean, they got over, they got some attention. People are really getting behind them. And then they really haven't been used that much on television lately, especially like in just standing out on their own and getting these nice feel good moments. And it's tougher once you're not the champion. It was all about getting to that point where they got the titles. And then after that, it's like, okay, so you've already had the chase. You've had the feel good moment. Now what comes?
Yeah.
And I don't think they figured like, all right, we had that moment. So now it's time to hand the titles over to somebody else.
I guess that's my thing is you could have drawn these guys out as your tag champions for at least another month or two, maybe. They've already beat the Usos, and I get that. But it's curious to me that they're going with Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, if your prediction is correct, as the next set of tag champions. Again, like you said earlier, two guys who should be singles wrestlers, who could be successful singles wrestlers, who have been successful singles wrestlers, instead of a tag team. And I still think it's a weird pairing. Randy Orton is supposed to be the guy who is turning on Bray Wyatt, not partnering with him for the long term.
And now they're trying to set up, or they were at least teasing this angst with Luke Harper. But Harper proved himself in that match because he pulled Bray out of the way.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly where they're going with that. I mean, I really thought that Orton was, the whole thing was a ruse with him, but apparently it's not. They're going to keep him in the group for a while. But just to see that tag team, it's funny, for the longest time, like Bray would wrestle every now and then, but not on a regular basis. And, you know, it was Harper and Rowan that were the tag team.
Yeah.
And now Bray is a part of the tag team.
Yeah,
he's one of the featured guys, and it's Harper that's on the outside. So it's just like, it's a little bit different than what we've seen. And it feels weird, like I said before, seeing Orton and Bray not as singles guys, and see them as a tag team. And it's just this kind of, once again, it's just slapping two singles guys together to make a tag team. So
Yeah, that's what they're doing, filling spots with these guys.
That's what they're doing. Yeah, and also, you know, they almost have to do this to some extent just because of how many people are up on the main roster. And I know you can make this argument of, well, they could add some people to SmackDown. They can add some talent to Raw, you know, because if you put them all together, it would definitely be bloated. And that's kind of the way it is for when you get to these big pay-per-views, like what's going to happen at not necessarily at the Rumble, because you do have the unique Rumble match itself. But when you get to like a WrestleMania, like who is going to make the show when it comes to, you know, the regular matches, and not just like, okay, we're going to put eight people in this match so we can get everybody in it. Or everybody's going to be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I'm talking about the regular one-on-one or even triple threat matches. And you look at all the people on the main roster, they had that big call up earlier this year from NXT. And I still wonder, there were some guys that shouldn't have been called up. And I would still like to see back in NXT that I think would need more seasoning and would probably still fit better there. And it would probably help a little bit when it comes to the way that they're even doing Raw and SmackDown right now.
Well, the big difference is on NXT, they're being given a spot or spots to wrestle in singles matches and get that spotlight in that environment. And when they're being brought up, because nobody's sure what to do with them, they end up getting into these odd pairings, these odd couple pairings. They end up, you know, getting in these multi-man feuds. And so they're losing that experience that they really benefit from being in NXT in these one-on-one feuds.
Yeah, you know, and like, so here's a couple of the guys that I would say that I would still like to see in NXT. It's not a lot. But, you know, like Apollo Crews hasn't been on television regularly. I thought he got called up too soon. I would have loved to have seen Baron Corbin stay in NXT to get more experience. And I would have made him a champion there at some point just to get that demeanor and having that experience of being a champion.
Yeah.
Nia Jax, who I still think sometimes they really want to push her and sometimes they don't because just of her experience level right now that I think they're still on the fence with her. And if they were down in NXT, then you wouldn't have to see these tag teams kind of be formed together, you know, slapped together. Like I said, when it comes to Orton and Wyatt and Sheamus and Cesaro, maybe they would have still gone in that direction, but you know, you wouldn't necessarily have had to do it if you're talking about, we've got prominent guys we want to get on television, but how are we going to use them? And they come up with this idea of putting them together as a tag team.
Yeah. You know, and also the other thing about it too is these guys, when you bring them up, if you don't give them a single, if they're not a tag team that's established already that is going to be filling out the ranks of your tag team division for the years to come, much like the Usos or even the Wyatt family extended, if they're not some of those kind of people and you don't give them some meaningful one-on-one feuds, the fans are going to give up on them, right? The reason that Enzo and Big Cass are over as much as they are is because they were given a spotlight with some meaningful tag team feuds. But these guys are just tossing into tag teams and saying, here, be a tag team now. The fans don't know who they are, and the fans aren't going to buy in. And so Randy Orton being tossed in with Bray Wyatt, it doesn't feel right for Bray Wyatt as a future character. And I think that it's going to hurt a lot of these call-ups in the long run until they give them some kind of platform, you know?
Well, look at what they did with the Vaudevillains.
Yeah.
Look at what they did with the Ascension, even prior to all of this.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. If you don't have something really useful for the guys, I mean, what's the point of doing it? I mean, it's tough. You know, look at Tyler Breeze. Okay. Yeah. And the funny thing is, him and Fandango have worked really hard at that team. And I think they could do more at that team. I mean, for a while there, they were starting to, and then now they've kind of backed off. And they found something for those guys. And it made sense to put them together, I thought, just because of their position. They weren't as high end. But even now, putting them together, they really haven't done too much with those guys. And I mean, quite honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing Tyler Breeze back in NXT. I mean, I understand there's a money thing probably, and he doesn't want to go. And once you get a taste of being on the main roster, I'm just saying, from if you take money out of the equation from a position standpoint, being able to feature a guy, especially somebody talented, you know, I could even see Fandango back in NXT, and I think he could be utilized there and could help some other guys being in the ring with him and be in a really good position himself for that brand, which is a hot brand.
What I don't get, and I agree, they could, those guys especially who have not made it over on the main roster could very easily travel back down and benefit from it, both as characters and I think the company would benefit from it as well. But what I don't understand for the life of me is why they spend months and months and months on a single feud, right? Let's take The Miz and Dolph Ziggler, for example, a feud that I've liked, and I'm not picking on that one, but why they spend so long on individual feuds. And yet we end up with guys who never get into any feuds, who are brought up and not given a mini feud with The Miz over the IC title. You don't have to win it, but put them in that position to maybe go after him, because that helps them establish their brand and establish their name. Much like when Chris Jericho came into the WWE, right? You had to give him those platforms for him to finally get over with that audience. And I don't know why they refuse to even put them into those pictures.
I thought that that was where Tyler Breeze was going to be positioned. I really thought this guy probably isn't going to be world champion necessarily unless something really hits, but he could be a guy that is in the mix for the Intercontinental Championship for a long time. Mm-hmm. He could be mm-hmm. the champion for a long time there, and it makes it a total work rate belt again. I mean, yep. that's what it used to be. And I thought that's a great position for him. And they have not done that at all with Tyler.
Nope. I feel like they just don't know what they want to do sometimes.
Let's preview a little TLC. That's right. We've got another pay-per-view coming up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I know you're
TLC.
Excited.
TLC, baby.
So get out your second TV so you can also watch The Walking Dead at the same time.
I haven't even watched this week's The Walking Dead,
dude. Come on, man.
It's not been, it's been like,
oh, wow.
It's
really?
Been meh. Have you been watching it? It's been kind of meh.
Well, they're going off in a couple of different directions to kind of set up the big story with Negan.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're trying to kill a little time here.
Mm-hmm. And they're killing my spirit while they do it.
Wow.
So.
I thought Negan did that already when he killed Glenn. Oh, was that a spoiler?
Oh, wow. Oh, my Lord. And we just lost about 100 listeners because of that. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Good.
Let's run down the matches for TLC. Oh. Okay. So right now they have six matches announced for this blockbuster show.
I can tell you're excited.
I am. There are a couple matches I am really looking forward to, though. So they're doing Heath Slater and Rhino against the Wyatts for the tag team titles, the SmackDown tag team titles. Any chance you think Slater and Rhino win?
I think so. I think they're more likely to win. I'm not entirely convinced that Randy Orton isn't going to turn on Bray Wyatt. But,
Interesting.
I predict.
So you're predicting Slater and Rhino?
I'm predicting Slater and Rhino.
I'm going with the Wyatts. I think they want to keep them together a little bit longer.
Okay, so here's my thing. We go into let's just establish some ground rules here. When we head into 2017, can we just keep a tally on who gets the most pay-per-view predictions right?
Yeah, absolutely we will.
We'll call it the Brian and Michael 365-day challenge or something.
The PPV challenge.
The PPV challenge. Yeah.
So they're doing a chairs match between Kalisto and Baron Corbin. I'm going to say a special prayer for Kalisto.
Chairs matches. I love them. Chairs. God, the
out of all of the matches that they're going to do on this show, that's the most brutal. It's just doing a straight on chairs match.
Chairs.
I think Baron Corbin's going to win here.
It's such a terrible thing to do, too, right? Like, so they completely bastardized the concept of TLC by breaking them off like this. Yeah. We're going to have a ladders and a chairs and a tables and a TLC match. Like, no.
And we're going to have big, tall, huge monster Baron Corbin against Kalisto in a chairs match.
Kalisto.
Poor Kalisto. Poor what did he do wrong?
He didn't win. He didn't win the division.
He didn't get the cruiserweight champion.
205 Live. Those guys must be over there.
So now he's paying the price. Well, he didn't have a Mick Foley. And we didn't even talk about that. Mick Foley cutting a promo on poor Sami Zayn because he was mad at Sami. You didn't win. You didn't win the Intercontinental Championship. And Stephanie wanted to fire you. And I talked her out of it. So I put you in with Braun Strowman. I made the match. My teeth didn't fall out like Mick's did during the promo.
Poor Sami Zayn. That's a guy. He's a guy who deserves more in this world.
Sami called Mick Foley a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite, Mick. All those times that you were out there, you wanted to go out there against the biggest guy, the baddest guy. And no matter how many times people told you no, you kept going forward. And now you won't let me do it. You're a hypocrite. Mick thinks he's saving the man. And all Sami wants is an opportunity.
Yep. There you go. Story of my life.
Yep. Do you like Baron Corbin to win here or Kalisto?
Kalisto.
Oh, really?
No, I'm all Baron Corbin. Okay. I'm just
lying. Jeez almighty. they're doing no DQ match between Nikki Bella and Carmella.
Nikki Bella.
Yeah, I'll say Nikki. The Miz against Dolph Ziggler. Ladder match for the IC title. Quite honestly, man, this should be a hell of a match.
Yeah, it should be. It is. It's going to be. The best viewed on WWE TV right now. Best viewed on WWE TV.
Arguably. It's not AJ Styles versus James Ellsworth?
Well, that's the second best feud.
Okay.
Ellsworth just keeps winning. How can that be a feud if one guy wins all the time, right?
Well, he's got a championship match coming his way still, so he needs to try to make it 4-for-4 against AJ.
I'm going to go with The Miz to retain.
I agree. I think The Miz will retain his championship. Tables match. And by the way, if he retains, I never want to see him on Talking Smack as a host again.
There you go.
Tables match. Women's championship. Becky Lynch against Alexa Bliss.
Can I give kudos? Can I just give all the kudos in the world to Alexa Bliss, who has done wonders with this spot? She has been fantastic.
She's been awesome. And it's funny because, like, when she was with Blake and Murphy, and then they split her off and they broke up the team, you could really start to see her improve. When she was on her own, she was getting to wrestle a little bit more, and you could see she was not only improving in the ring, but her personality was coming out even more. It was already pretty good already. And I know some people, you know, questioned bringing her onto the main roster already, but like you said, she's taken full advantage of this opportunity. She's been fantastic.
Yes, and yeah. She doesn't win.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. All that being said, Becky Lynch is going to win this match. And then we're doing AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose, TLC for the World Championship.
AJ Styles. Dean Ambrose has got to go find something else to do after this, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to see AJ as well. And Dean will have to go find something else to do. Maybe it'll be Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin after this.
So we split. Oh, man, can we not? Oh, Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin, not AJ Styles and Baron Corbin. Okay, I could buy that. I could dig it.
Yeah, I don't know what they'll do with AJ, but.
The Miz? You know, he's been a champion for a while.
Maybe Johnny Boots and Tights will be back by then.
Johnny Boots and Tights, maybe.
Because
is that a feud? I don't want to see them give the belt to John Cena from AJ Styles. I feel like it will undermine all of the winning that AJ Styles did.
I still want AJ to retain, and then I want on next Tuesday, I want The Undertaker to show up and be all pissy with AJ and challenge him for that title at the Rumble.
Wouldn't The Undertaker need to feud? Wait, hold on. Okay, two things.
Okay.
Number one, didn't The Undertaker say that he was coming back to SmackDown full-time or something? Right.
He said he was going to be there. He was going to be around.
He lied. He lied. He's a dirty, dirty liar.
He said he was going to be around just because he wasn't there, since then. He could still show up. He could be around.
Is he there in the back somewhere with just like his little gongs going and he's in
like,
his cape?
He's like a Crow Sting. He's up in the rafters.
Oh, okay. So we're going to see the Undertaker and Sting feud.
The camera people just haven't found him yet.
So my second question is, wasn't he going to be pissed off at the people who cost SmackDown the match they lost?
Absolutely.
Okay. So third question, wouldn't it make sense for him to be mad at Dean Ambrose and for them to feud next?
Yes, it would. But I want to see him feud with AJ. But you're absolutely right. It would make more sense that he'd be pissed off at Dean Ambrose. So maybe in that sense, you would have AJ. Well, maybe Ambrose would win the championship here and him and Taker would go at it at the Rumble.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's my prediction.
And then AJ would feud with, I don't know who.
Maybe
John Cena would come back and they would feud, but well, it wouldn't be for the title though, but.
You never know. Fantasy warfare, baby. Anything can happen.
Speaking of fantasy warfare, I think that brings us to our favorite segment every week. Guess WrestleMania.
Awesome. Uh-huh. I'm digging it.
I know. Yeah. Uh-huh. So last week we started the segment where each week we try to guess WrestleMania.
Guess-o-mania.
That's what one fan suggested we make this segment.
It was me. I just texted you. So
actually, it was somebody else. But I don't mind that idea, but I like the guess WrestleMania. I'm just going to stick with that. And you can go guess-o-mania if you like.
Guess-o-mania.
But as dumb, clueless fans, every week we will try to guess what the lineup for WrestleMania will be. I know last week I had kind of given the scenario of, Brock and facing Goldberg, Shaq and Big Show, Cena and Taker for the championship, SmackDown championship. And then I said Roman Reigns against Braun Strowman and AJ Styles possibly challenging Kevin Owens for the Raw championship, the Raw Universal Championship. And that was because AJ won the Rumble after losing the title to Taker. I need to amend something because every week we're going to make changes to this theoretical lineup, right?
Okay.
Because we're never going to be right. We're never going to know. It's just guessing. I forgot to mention.
Oh, we're never going to know. Hold up, time
well,
out.
We're going to know.
Let's not underestimate myself.
We're going to know like 6 days before WrestleMania, and that'll be it, basically.
I'm just saying. I interviewed Colt Cabana a couple years at WrestleCade, so you never know what can happen.
That's
you never know where my sources come from. CM Punk is going to love something.
Mm. So, I forgot to think about one thing: the first ever Universal Champion Finn Balor will probably be back in time for WrestleMania. So I think it could be Finn Balor against Kevin Owens for that Universal Championship.
Okay.
I don't know where that would put AJ Styles in the mix, but that would be my change this week, or at least my biggest change would be Finn back against KO for the title.
Oh, so you think, I like it. Revisiting a feud from NXT, they have found success with that with Charlotte and Sasha.
And Finn can always say, hey, man, I never lost this championship. I was injured, you know, so he's got to, you know, he can state his claim.
Who did you predict last week? Would be the champion. Would be the WWE champion coming out of this.
Oh, coming out of WrestleMania?
Yep.
I said John Cena would beat The Undertaker.
But that was for the blue. Oh, yeah. Okay. But for the Universal title. I apologize.
Well, I had AJ Styles against Kevin Owens. I didn't predict the winner.
Okay.
I was purposely coy about that.
Okay. I like your booking. I would be surprised, though, if Kevin Owens makes it all the way to WrestleMania with that championship. I still think he's going to lose it to a feud with against Brock Lesnar or something.
Well, let me ask you this. We have Roadblock, the end of the whatever the hell.
End of the line.
Sure.
End of the day.
In
end
a couple
of, the
of weeks.
End of the week.
Do you think Roman Reigns could dethrone
Jesus
Christ, Kevin Owens for the championship? Hey, man. Here's the theory I saw that's out there from someone, okay?
No.
And we know how much theories on the internet, you know, how much substance they have, which is, I hate, by the way. So, UFC has a very popular champion in Conor McGregor, who up until just a couple of days ago was a champion of two different divisions. He held two titles. So would WWE like to possibly mirror that and really get Roman Reigns over strong? Because, hey, you know what? He's had these things with Brock Lesnar. He's done all these strong things before. We still haven't gotten them over. But maybe if he was both the world champion or the universal champion and the United States champion, that would get him over.
No, they know you can't just keep throwing. No.
I like how you're fighting yourself from within. You're like, oh my God, that almost makes sense. They do it, but I don't want to see it.
Oh my Lord. But it's not.
Come to the dark side.
I hate you. I hate your stupid idea. I hate whoever said that. Whoever said that, if you're listening, I hate you personally and your family.
Feel the power of the dark side.
That would be a terrible. They cannot think that it makes sense to put the belt back on Roman Reigns right now.
Keep trying to talk yourself out of it, Chief.
Okay.
Keep trying.
New prediction for WrestleMania in our WrestleMania segment. I think it's going to be Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker. Somehow they'll find a way to give him back the streak. Roman Reigns entering as the Universal title champion holder. Undertaker entering as the WWE champion. And they fight for it all. And Roman Reigns is now your WWE/Universal/streak beater U.S. title champion.
I don't think that was a sincere prediction. I'm just going to throw that out there. There is a path to doing a Taker Roman Reigns match.
Okay.
There's a couple of paths. I mean, if you do the whole revenge thing, he could go after Roman and saying, I know that I'm blue brand through and through, but I'm going to come after you. Or he could also win the Rumble.
Roman or the Taker?
Taker.
Okay.
And then he could challenge Roman Reigns, who's going to be Kevin Owens at Roadblock, the end of the line, and he could challenge him for that Universal Championship.
Okay. Yeah. I don't like Roman in the title picture. He needs to stay at the U.S. Championship level for the time being.
You like the idea of Roman Reigns against Braun Strowman that I threw out.
Yes. Yes, that's beautiful. Perfect. Let's just do that. Main event.
Main event. Wow, that's strong, man. That's strong.
Pushing him. I got to get him out there, man.
So not too much different this week, but.
Okay. So I like I still like, I know they're going to go with Goldberg versus Brock round two at WrestleMania.
Round three, get it right.
Round three.
Well, actually, for the fans I watch now, they don't remember the first one. So round two.
So I know this isn't going to happen, but Kevin Owens versus Brock Lesnar shows a lot of a luster to me.
I agree. I think that could be SummerSlam next year.
Okay.
Did you see that WWE put out a poll that said, would you like to see Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg for a third time?
Did they?
Yeah. I don't know what the results. I don't know what the results were, but I know they threw the poll out there.
Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin is just clicking there, clicking no.
Hey,
no,
man, you know, they only want to give the fans what they want. So that means whoever votes in the poll and however that poll comes out, that's what they're going to give you.
Oh, they just want to give the fans what they want. You're right. Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I didn't even mention my Seth Rollins Triple H match, which I still think is going to happen.
Oh, yeah, I believe in that.
I think we're going to see Triple H pop up here pretty quick. If right around the Rumble, either just before or just after.
Who wins in a match between Shaq and the Big Show?
Shaq.
Yeah.
The daddy.
Okay.
The guy that used to be Orlando's own. He still has a house here, but.
Do you reckon they've given any thought to the women's division at all about SummerSlam yet?
Or about WrestleMania, you mean?
Yeah, will Sasha and Charlotte still be feuding over this championship?
I don't know. I mean, I could see them doing Charlotte and Sasha and Bayley in a triple threat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is what they did last year. It was just Becky Lynch instead of Bayley. Or, I mean, maybe they want to build it up and say, hey, let's do Bayley against Sasha because they've had such great chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, I could easily see that as well. So there's a couple of different directions. And by the way, Big Show, kudos to him. That dude's lost like 80 pounds.
Yeah.
He's crazy. Way slimmed down.
He looks like the giant again.
Well, he doesn't have the long hair anymore. He's not doing moonsaults, but yeah.
He's only got so many in him. He can't do that many of them.
Yeah, he did one back in the day, and that was it. Hey, man, that guy survived the fall off the top of Cobo Hall, okay? and I asked him about it, too, and he laughed his ass off. before we get out of here,
yep.
Let's talk about our favorite slash least favorite legal standings, and that is TNA against Billy Corgan.
Feud of the month, man.
Feud of the year. Voting for in the Observer. So TNA Ventures and Anthem Entertainment have settled their lawsuit with Billy Corgan. Billy was very happy with it. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it's settled and he's out of the company. Now, he's done several interviews this week. I listened to the one with our friend Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. And Billy had some choice things to say. He has no problems with Anthem, and he's very happy that they are in control, and he thinks they'll do a great job. He does have some very choice words for Dixie Carter, who he considered a very close personal friend in the past, and not anymore, obviously. And especially didn't like it that he was called a, loan shark, basically.
Yeah.
And other things in the lawsuit that was going on. He did at one point in the interview, which I encourage everybody to read at ProWrestling.net or to listen to. I know that Jason has it up there for anybody to listen to. But he refers to Dixie as a sociopath and says that he still has the right to pursue a lawsuit against individuals who he would not name, but you can guess who they are. On who he feels lied to him in order to help with their own interests. Billy's happy with everything how it turned out from the standpoint of his settlement with Anthem and whatnot. Uh-huh. But everything that went down and what he was told and what he believed the way it came down, he was not very happy about that. He felt like he was led astray and he really wanted control of the company.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing he was called was a predatory lender, which he did not like too much.
I mean, there's a lot of mudslinging still happening here, which is disappointing because it just keeps TNA and TNA's name marred for the time being. And it seems like Billy Corgan has really been burned by this whole situation.
Yeah.
So I do feel a lot of sympathy for the guy. I just wish we could get out of the news cycle. If he's going to take legal action, do it. Let's do it. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Maybe Dixie Carter does need to be put in her place, it seems like. I'm at the point with the story where I'm kind of done with it, and I think the longer it gets dragged out, it's just not good for the wrestlers in TNA.
It's just not good for everybody that this is what we're talking about when it comes to TNA. Yeah. When for a while there, we were talking about how the creative department, the creative direction of the show had gone in a different direction. It was more upbeat. You'd see some positive things. I really wonder what's going to happen now creatively. I know they've got this, you know, the big stuff going out there over at the Hardy compound coming up here on the 15th. Apocalypto with the tag team matches and whatever else is going to go on there, whatever chaos and whatnot. And I believe we're going to see more characters from Jeff Hardy emerge that we will not just see some of the ones we've already seen, but there will be more.
Okay.
And, you know, we're going to see, you know, all these different tag teams, including the team that likes to rock and roll will be there amongst others. But that's what we're talking about is this lawsuit. I mean, I'm glad that it finally got settled. I don't know if he's going to pursue more lawsuits, but I could easily see that. You know, if he feels like it's worth his time and money, he's going to do it. And I think it just depends on, can he put whatever is in the past, or if it still ticks him off to the point where he says, no, something needs to be done about this, and I'm the one that has to do it.
Mm.
I mean, yeah. He was talking about Dixie, and one of the things that he pointed out was he felt like, hey, everybody thinks that, you know, there's a certain reputation among some people about her and her business acumen or lack thereof. And he tried to point out that's not necessarily the case. Maybe she's the one with her smile and wit and charm that's actually working everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she's a lot brighter than everybody gives her credit for. We like to jump on and criticize her, but she's got to be somewhat business savvy to have done everything that she's done. And Corgan makes a good point there. She's duping us all.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Potentially, you know. So, I mean, you could tell he didn't come off angry, but you could tell that he was bitten. And yeah. this really affected him. I mean, he wanted to run that company. And he felt like he was doing his due diligence, and he was doing everything he could to help the company survive and help the talent. He invested money. And then he did it again. And then he did it again thinking, okay, now I'm going to be the president and I'm potentially going to be the owner. And that was the goal, that he thought he was going to be the owner. And that's why he put even more money in. And to see everything go down the way that he did, you know, he was the president and he felt like I had no power. I was told I had X amount of power when I really didn't. I'd tell people to do stuff and they're like, no, we were told not to do that by her or by others in management. And he even feels like the way that he was brought into the company to, in the first place, was under false pretenses, this whole thing of bringing him in on the creative department might have been part of a ruse just to get money out of him.
Smart. It was smart.
It was the slow burn. Like, we'll bring him in, we'll butter him up, we won't tell him about the money problems. Like, he said he didn't know anything about the lawsuits that were going on until they got filed in court. And he was the president of the company. And he didn't know that the company had a lien on them for the state of Tennessee. He didn't realize there was lawsuits from other production companies or from American Express, all these other ones, because there's been, what, like five other lawsuits against the company for owed money? So the whole thing is just an entire mess, as we said time and time again. With him not there, with Dave Lagana not there, I do wonder about the creative direction of the company going forward.
Yeah, it's gonna take a hit. We're back to where we were.
I wonder what talents. There's going to be some talent that have their contracts come up here too, and I wonder what the effect of all this is going to be on them from a business standpoint, and also seeing a couple of key people that maybe that they liked are gone from the company. Does that affect them necessarily if they want to stick around or not?
I think you're still in a situation where these guys have limited options, and I don't think you're going to see a bunch of people jump ship.
Right.
I just think long-term it's going to affect the creative space of TNA in a negative way.
Sure. And I mean, the way it can possibly be sold now is, hey, there's different people that are running the show. They've got money. The show's not going anywhere. you know, and we're moving forward. You know, we don't without this cloud of money sitting over our heads, we're fine now. You know, I know that they got to figure out these lawsuits. Don't worry about that. We're on TV. You're going to get paid every week. We're going to do the shows. So that's not going to be a problem. And I don't think they're going to be canceled anytime from television, but, and they can move forward and try to build on this, but there are going to be some people that say, hey, there's people there that I liked working with that are not there anymore. Maybe I don't like the creative direction. Excuse me. And maybe I felt burned too many times or things that have gone on that I didn't like. And I said, enough is enough. And I just need to explore other options.
I think with maybe one or two guys, I think that's going to be very few and far between though.
But I mean, I'm not saying there's going to be a lot, but I could see a couple people.
Who's leaving, Fritzy? Tell us. Give us the scoop. Who's leaving?
I'm not saying he's leaving, but I'll tell you what. Mike Bennett sure didn't seem too thrilled about the way that lawsuit went down.
Give us the scoop.
Mike Bennett was on Twitter, man. And he did not seem too thrilled about Billy Corgan leaving and the way that lawsuit went down. You know, with the way that the decision came down on that. Bennett put something out on Twitter and you could tell, I think it was like, oh, here we go. Same old, something like that, you know? And you could tell he was not too thrilled. And I don't know when his contract is up. It might be up at the end of the year, but I could see him leaving. You know, for one, I don't know if that's going to happen necessarily or not, but, you know, because he's put stuff out there on Twitter like that, it makes you wonder, like, if he's not happy, could he be on his way out?
Yeah. Fascinating. It's tough to talk about.
Fascinating. We'll talk about this next week, too, because for a while we've wondered about NXT kind of reloading. And now we're coming up on the end of the year. There could be some talents available, and you wonder if NXT will go after them and how hard if they do go after them.
Samoa Joe at the Rumble. Calling it now.
Well, he's already under contract, so that's not going to be a tough get.
Samoa Joe at the Rumble. Kurt Angle. Fantasy Warfare. Brock Lesnar, triple threat match, SummerSlam 2017. Done.
We've already seen Brock Lesnar in a triple threat match. It was a hell of a triple threat match. And well, it was at the Royal Rumble.
Well, fantasy warfare. You can do anything. It's fantasy.
Dear God. What is wrong with you?
That's how you market it, man. It's all about the marketing.
Everybody check out the next podcast. Be on the lookout for that. Jay Lethal, Cody Rhodes talking about Ring of Honor Final Battle coming up on Friday night. They will face each other. Headlining that show, Adam Cole against Kyle O'Reilly for the ROH World Championship in that bitter feud between those two. So that pay-per-view, Friday night, 9 o'clock for Ring of Honor. Yeah, I got to speak with both of those guys earlier in the week. So I'll have those up in another podcast. You can also read the stories I did on them for Sporting News. Those are online right now, too. Follow me on Twitter, at Brian Fritz. That's where you can easily, or that's the most easy way, because easiest is not, or the other word I said was not a word even. But that is the easiest way to...
We're funner.
Find those stories I did on those guys on Sporting News. You can follow Michael. It's at The Real Wiseman.
Yep.
For his witty banter that's on Twitter all the time.
I do it all the time. Actually, Twitter's not even on my phone right now. I need to reinstall it. So just follow me anyway. I'll be there.
Really?
It's the internet. I'm there all the time. Yeah, I had to, you know, long story, technology and stuff. Blah,
is
blah,
this
blah.
Good that I'm getting a message right now from Facebook that said somebody just tried to log into my Facebook account from Taipei, Taiwan right now?
That was my bad. That was me. I was sorry about that. I was traveling the world trying to be Brian Fritz.
That's not very good.
Live your life, man. I'm trying to live you. Live your life the way you do it.
Man.
Maybe you should go take care of that. Let's end the show and you go do that.
I got to reset my password now. Damn it. We really appreciate everybody for
no
listening.
More password one. It's over.
I know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Gone. Damn it. I have to put a 6 in there now. But we do appreciate everybody for listening. Of course, you can find us on iTunes or on Stitcher. Please rate and review the podcast. That helps us out a lot. You can also find us on SoundCloud. We're on the TuneIn app and also on Google Play as well. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. We always appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week right here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a